This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
I believe since day one, when I joined the club, I will leave this club one day with a silverware or be playing in Champions League.
Welcome to the My Old Man Said podcast. It's Europa Vision time. I'm David Michael, your host. Joining me, Mr. Armin Mirazoyan.
Hello.
Welcome back.
Hello.
Are you ready for the Legia Spartans that are coming into town because they've had their numbers restricted to just 1,000? But it's probably a good job that they didn't restrict it to 300 because they would have sent their 300 hardest ultras.
do we have our best horses, though? That's the question.
Yeah. We have our horses ready for their Spartans.
Yeah, no, I'm really excited for the game. It's going to be a big one.
Probably the biggest one since the Ajax home game because that
exactly.
Would, you know, glamour-tie in terms of people buying into European nights again. And then obviously Martin O'Neill just deflated the balloon of our excitement with his antics of putting out shit teams and then sacrificing it in Moscow. But this, not necessarily about the opponents, but the fact that they beat us, and it's essentially a face-off for the group.
Yeah, the only question is, who do you think will be the player going to the strip club the night before?
Exactly.
Who would you bet on this team? I don't know.
As long as it's not Martinez or Watkins, probably.
Anyone else can do whatever they want. Yeah. I think Luiz falls into that category. But then I think he might be most likely to be in the strip club. It's hard to know.
Yeah, I always remember being bummed out, being on the halt for that game and just thinking, Carew. Because you want your best team when you play in, you know, teams like that because they were decent. They had Huntelaar, Suarez.
That was a really decent team. It's one of those where you look back and you think, Jesus, players went on to become superstars.
It was actually a team in, players in evolution, wasn't it? Because at the time you were like, well, it's Ajax, you know, it'll be a tough game. But then when you look back 10 years later, you're like, oh shit, that was a good team.
That's what teams will be doing about our players in 10 years' time.
Damn right.
That Buendia, oh, he won all those trophies at Real Madrid, didn't he?
What? he's going to win trophies at Villa before he goes anywhere else. Right, before we get into things, supporting the My Old Man Said podcast through these winter months is NordVPN, and they are offering our listeners a bumper deal
where you can get an extra 4 months free on top of huge savings on the personal choice when it comes to VPN of My Old Man Said. If you want to protect your privacy on your devices and while you're browsing, then NordVPN allows you to use it on 6 devices. And of course, one of the key attributes of a VPN is it allows users to watch sporting events, TV shows, films, which aren't available in their region by switching their virtual location to a country where you can watch it. Perfect for those 3 p.m. kickoffs on Saturday or 2 p.m. kickoffs on a Sunday for the untelevised games in the UK. To grab your exclusive discount off your NordVPN plan, go to nordvpn.com/moms and you'll receive 4 extra months for free, and there's a no risk Nord 30-day money back guarantee as well. You'll find the link in the episode description notes, so check it out.
As an additional added bonus, NordVPN will match any donation made to Movember, the campaign that helps raise awareness of men's both physical and mental health and encourages men to talk about it. NordVPN will match any donation, so in effect doubling your donation to that cause. Thank you very much. In Europa Vision, well, we're getting ready for this slugfest. I mean, in the context of the Premier League, if you win it by two, you've won the group and you don't have to play in the Conference League again until March, which means you can really double down on the league. I don't even consider ourselves in the FA Cup. When I look at the fixture list, I'm thinking, oh yeah, no more Europa League. We can really focus on this Premier League, Champions League campaign, which the Spurs win gives us a good foot up in. And I'm still with the thought process that as long as we get one of those Arsenal and Manchester City games, as long as I think if we get a draw out of one, because ultimately you're nullifying the team, the other team, from obviously getting 3 points in the Champions League.
Well, you might say this is a really stupid question, but it's something that hit me this morning. What would you rather, lose one, win one, or draw both? Obviously more points for winning one, but then you haven't lost a game, so what would you take?
No, you would win one, lose one.
Yeah,
it's all about points, isn't it? Because I think ultimately Arsenal and Manchester City should qualify for the Champions League, so you're looking at finishing above the Newcastles, the Spurs, the Manchester United, so you want as many points as possible.
Agreed.
Just looking back at the situation, I mean, as I said, two goals. One goal probably does it. You know, as we've mentioned before, it's going to take a big goal difference swing, and Warsaw will have to beat Alkmaar in Poland, which I think that's doable. And then Villa would have to get beat in Zrinjski.
Yeah, I mean, it would be good to go to Zrinjski, wouldn't it? And just be able to rest Watkins and Martinez and whoever else. Give Olsen a run around.
I mean, we can't take teams lightly, because we've seen that there's two Villas, isn't there? There's one Villa that blows teams away, and that's the one that you hopefully that turns up, and we've got this game won by 60 minutes, and then you can start thinking about Bournemouth. Or there's the team that we saw against Zrinjski, that we saw against Spurs, that makes life hard for themselves, but they get it over the line in the end.
Looking at even, which we'll do in a second, looking at Legia's recent form, I think our home form, I can only imagine we're going to play a strong team, and I think we'll win it. And I think that's all she wrote for the group. I think we'll take the group.
Yeah, so we're not going to go into too much detail because...
Done. See you later.
Looking at their team, their away form in the league is 1-2, drawn 2, lost 2. Domestically,
they've got Peck Hart on 6 goals at the moment, who's the top goal scorer, the Czech, and then Josue is on 5 goals. Portuguese Josue, I think, I don't know how you say his name, but I think that's it. And then they've got Mucci, our friend, who's only on 4, so he's got quite a good return against Villa, almost.
The Albanian, and Albania qualified for the Euros. They're actually on the rise, Albania. The secret of their success is no Poles.
Seems to be.
The Polish players are the assist merchants, and they rely on other nationalities to stick it away. But I think you're looking at these teams now. At the start, a lot of them had good starts. They were like leading their domestic leagues, and you're thinking, oh, this Europa Conference League is actually, it's one of those, it's a seasonal thing, and we've actually landed in a tournament where we're playing all the form teams, like Alkmaar were top, Legia Warsaw were doing well, Zrinjski were right up there. But it seems to be plateauing out a little bit now, because Legia Warsaw have been stuck in sixth place, haven't they, for a while now.
Yeah.
Alkmaar have dropped a peg or two in the Dutch league. And then you look around and look at Fiorentina, who was second favourites for this tournament. Now they're in eighth in Serie A. And Eintracht Frankfurt, who are third favourites, are seventh in the Bundesliga.
They're all just desperate to get back into the UEFA Conference, aren't they?
Exactly. Well, Villa and Fenerbahce, I think, are top of their league, Superliga, Turkish Superliga. So Villa and Fenerbahce are the only teams that are trying to improve themselves and be a better version of themselves, while these other teams are just slopping around at Conference League level.
That should be banned, that phrase. Better version of yourself is the Gerrard mantra, isn't it?
Is it? Oh, sorry.
Right. Oh, he said it every single interview. I think if there was a merit badge so far in a competition, I'd give it to Aberdeen. Like, what do they give kids now? Like taking part badges. I think Aberdeen deserve it because they've actually done really well. They've represented Scotland quite well, I think. Just not points-wise, but effort-wise.
Yeah, effort, but results is another matter. They've only got 2 points. They're already out, aren't they?
They've led quite a lot of the big, you know, two big teams in their group, and they've done a Spurs and bottled it. So.
But no, I'm expecting more of the same from Warsaw in terms of they're going to try to hit us on the counter and have to deal with our high line, which it won't be like Spurs where they were constantly trying to trigger it. I can't see Warsaw having as many chances, but it's about Villa, really. It's about Villa imposing their will, and actually they'll create chances, but I think Zrinski did a very good job on us, and maybe Villa didn't have the intensity.
But we did create a lot in that game. If you watch it back, we did. And it was our shooting that was just really poor, and the finishing was really bad. They weren't, I think we said at the time, they weren't clear-cut chances. Yeah. But when you've got 12 of them, you would expect, you know, a couple to fly in at this level. But we just weren't on it in terms of goals. It was McGinn that had to rescue us. But again, I think on another day, we would have won that comfortably.
I think we have more momentum now, though.
Definitely. And I think the back line that we said at the beginning, why would you play such a unfamiliar back line? Well, I think they're more settled now, aren't they? And they're kind of part of the squad now. Bailey's part of the squad now. Tielemans is part of the squad now. So I think there's just more cohesion.
Carlos started against Spurs as well. So his feet are under the table a bit more, aren't they?
Yeah, Legia, if you look back at that game as well, we got lucky in a way because we scored that strange goal where Duran floated and won the header. It was quite a goal out of nowhere. Then we had Dina score a kind of screamer. So really, we got fortunate to have been 2-2 in that game. They weren't really kind of well-worked goals. They were more kind of speculative goals, shots that led to goals. But at the same time, they had their fans. They kind of shocked us a little bit. I think this will be more comfortable. I think we need to score early. That's the only thing I would say. If we can get the first goal in the first half, I think it will be ours.
And the fact that they're not having like over 2,000 of their fans there, who would probably outshout our 30,000, to be honest with you. But that will keep that down. So I think as long as we get on top of them, this should be hopefully, touch words, scoring the first 20 minutes or so, it should be reasonably routine.
Yeah, the only thing I guess that gives some concern is they do seem to be a bit of a cup team, given that they won the cup last year. They have played well in this tournament.
Yeah, the Polish Cup. Yeah.
Yeah, so that they're playing in general. They've been very good in this competition. So I'm not suggesting, you know, that they're not to be taken seriously. I just think we're reaching a good level at the moment with the way we're playing and the confidence. And I think at home we're fantastic. So I do think we'll win by the two goals that we need.
Yeah, no, it's a good point. They are very much a cup team. I mean, I went to the Polish National Stadium when I was over in Warsaw for the other leg of this game, and they have the Polish Cup there, and it had their scarf on it since they won it. So that is something to think about, is their cup pedigree. But I don't know, I think we should win this.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
In terms of how they've been playing, I think, as you mentioned, they were 2-0 down at home against Vorta Poznan and got a draw.
Yeah, they've done that in this in the Conference League as well. That they're definitely quite a gritty, tough outfit. You know, they've got a strong mentality, it seems like. But It's just whether they've got the quality. And you know, unless we implode like last time, I think we should have enough.
Yeah. I'm kind of glad it's not the same stakes and we're going to their ground, put it that way.
Exactly.
That would be a different kettle of fish completely. Just looking at quickly the other game, is it a dead rubber, do you think?
I don't think it matters that much to either team, really. So, I think it's really just a two fixtures.
Alkmaar will be concentrating on the league. I think. I don't think they care about this one.
No, I think it's. I think it's.
Although saying that, they did get humiliated, and I mean that was the beginning of their downfall in this tournament. If they had actually beaten Zrinjski in that first game, then they'd still be a live dog in this, because if they beat Zrinjski again, then they'd have to essentially go to Poland and they could still qualify in second place. But I think their race is really run. So it's all intents and purposes, it is a dead rubber game.
I think so.
In terms of how teams have been doing in their domestic leagues, I mean, we've spoken about Warsaw. Zrinjski are still second, chasing Borac.
In the Bosnian league, they've scored 8 goals in their last two games, and it's that guy that we looked at when we first played them, Bilbia.
Yeah.
He scored 4 goals in 2 games, so they're a decent side. So I wouldn't even be confident that Alkmaar can beat them in the next game.
Yeah, I think they'll I think Zrinjski will be up for that more than Alkmaar will be, actually.
Because they'll feel a bit hard done by it. I think they've played very well, and if they do go out, I think they've done themselves quite proud, haven't they? We've said that before.
Yeah, no, they've done very well as well. And you know, let's not forget, we only beat them in injury time. And they may still beat us at their patch as well.
Exactly.
They'll be looking forward to that in terms of making a statement, I'm sure. Alkmaar, they kind of got back to where they were before Villa stripped them of their dignity. they beat Volendam, FC Volendam 3-0. They are now in third place. They have a game in hand with all the teams around them, but they are 10 points off PSV at top. They are only 3 points behind Feyenoord, but Feyenoord did beat them in their recent game. Was it 3-0 to Feyenoord?
I think. We had it up here, wasn't it? It was 3-0. I mean.
Villa, you know how they're doing in their domestic league. Top four, looking to cement that against Bournemouth before going into that double header in the week, which it's good times now, because that Spurs game was a pivotal match. Took care of business there. Then you've got another one here against Legia Warsaw. If you tick that box, and then you've got, it's almost like a computer game. You've got these, you're taking on increasingly harder tests until you fight the big bad. And the big bad is Arsenal and Manchester City within a week of each other at Villa
Park. It's the
Park.
Boss. It's the boss.
The boss of the Premier League.
The boss will come when we play them away from home. I think this is like a sub-boss. If you beat him,
because if we beat both of those two teams, I mean, we're starting to dream a bit here, then, you know, it would be hard for the fan base to contain themselves, and the rest of the fan bases will shit their pants.
I wonder at what point, if you remember last season, Emery, so when we were clearly, you know, we beat Chelsea away, that was the turning point, wasn't it? And then he kept saying, nope, we're just trying to finish the season strongly. Then suddenly he started saying, yep, we're trying to get into Europe. And then when we were, you know, a few points off Champions League with potential, he said, nope, we're just focusing on Europe. So he pours cold water on it. And he did that this week, didn't he? He said, no, we're not, you know, there are 7 teams better than us. And given Chelsea are miles below us, I just wonder at what point will he start to admit that there is something brewing here.
I mean, people were already talking about Villa Champions League before Spurs, and I was thinking, I'm not getting into that conversation until after these next 4 games, because they are pivotal in terms of the league table. They're also pivotal in terms of Villa need to improve their away form. So 2 of them obviously away in games that you should be beating Spurs if you want to be in the Champions League, considering, you know, they're fielding 4 fullbacks across the back line. And also Bournemouth is somewhere where we struggle. So if you can win that, then you're showing that you've improved from previous seasons. And hey, hang on a minute, you may be of a level to stay the course, because we know under Emery, I mean, his record since he's joined us spans over a season, doesn't it, of games. Yeah. And you know the level that we're at, and we are at Champions League potentially qualifying levels in terms of consistency. So that's what makes me think that this is a big test. These 4 games straight after the international break, we've done one, and that was more about Villa's resolve and that two key attributes of being able to create chances, and Martinez being able to, I wrote in the BBC article this week that I do, Martinez, he has big moments in games that justify him as what Alex Ferguson used to say that a great goalkeeper is worth 15 points, and he very much earned us 2 points at least against Spurs.
It's since the World Cup, because before the World Cup, we all liked him and we thought, what a great signing, what a good goalkeeper. But he still had, in my opinion, he still had a few hairy moments.
I was happy 100%. I wouldn't change him for any other goalkeeper.
I wouldn't have changed him either, but I think he's gone up levels since that World Cup for obvious reasons. It was a confidence thing, but he's got the stature now on the pitch to back up what he's done, you know, in the World Cup. I feel like he's, since January this year, I feel like he's come back levels above where he was.
And well,
levels,
he is, because he's a World Cup winner.
Yeah, but he's earned that. I mean, would you say, for example, that the Brighton player, what's his name, the guy who went to Liverpool, McAllister, like, you know, I wouldn't say he's particularly shone or made people think, okay, this guy is a World Cup winner, whereas Martinez, he won the World Cup, didn't he, with the saves in the last minute, the penalties.
He was one of the fundamental players responsible for that win. You know, McAllister, you know, he wasn't even a regular. Mm. But the thing about Martinez, just to hover on him for a second, you get the clickbait, people are after Douglas Luiz in January, you know, people are looking at Watkins, blah, blah, blah. It's like, hang on a minute. A, we're in the Champions League positions. They're on the journey with Villa. But the thing is, you got Martinez, who has doubled down and says, I could move to any other club easily, but I want to play Champions League football with Aston Villa and I want to win something with Aston Villa. Now, there's a World Cup winner saying that, somebody who's won awards at the Ballon d'Or, and the other players in the team will go, yeah, fuck it. We're with this guy. If he's saying that and he's a World Cup winner, then I'm staying because it's going to mean a hell of a lot more. So you can literally, while we're in these top five positions, you can just ignore any clickbait linking our players to other Premier League clubs.
I'm excited for January because I can see us adding quality. I don't see anybody leaving us.
Nobody's leaving. That's bullshit.
Wait till the summer if you're dying to leave and get a big move then. But why on earth would you leave in the middle of what they're going through right
now? This is prime time now. This is what they've been promising certain players.
Exactly.
And, you know, as fans, you think, well, we know what the aims are, but are we really going to be there? Because we've had, you know, a decade of soul sucking and, you know, we're on our last legs, so we don't know what to believe. But now we're actually in a position, third of the season gone. This isn't like Spurs. Anybody can win the first five games or whatever, be top of the table, but there's only one way to go, and that's down. Well, we're, it's like a middle distance race. You can have a pace setter, but they burn off because, you know, you can't sustain it. So the pace setter fades off like Spurs have done. As long as you're tucked in the lead group when you come off the final bend, that's the position you need to be in. And Villa have stayed under the radar and still are not, you know, nobody's convinced. It's like Leicester. Nobody believed they could win that league. And who knows? If we can get results off these teams when we play them head to head and we're in that pack, you know, when you do come off the final bends, who knows? It's not just all about top four, top five. It could be, you know, we're only 2 points off the top.
Exactly.
We digress from our Europa vision, where the name of the game here is to lift that trophy, because that is a big thing here. We have to win silverware, and that's how you define the manager. If Emery walks away from Villa having never won a trophy, then I think that would be classed as failure.
If Martinez says we're winning a trophy, he seems to have some kind of prophetic ability to just kind of, you know, he visualizes World Cup wins and they happen. But it's moving on to the trophy, the Europa Conference League. I'm afraid you need to start looking up for some tattoo removal.
Ooh.
Because the odds have changed. Villa's odds have changed.
So my 4-1 tattoo is now out.
It's outdated.
We are referencing the fact that Villa have been 4-1 to win this tournament since before the tournament actually started. But there's been a change. What is it?
We're now 7-2. I think that Tottenham result has...
That's awkward, because you could probably change a 1 into a 2, but changing a 4 into a 7, it's very complicated.
No.
The others have stayed the same, though, have they not?
Only Bruges have gone up. They're now 18-1. They were previously 20-1. So
Florentina 8-1, Frankfurt 10-1, Fenerbahce 10-1. But as we said earlier on, when you look at the league tables, I mean, I said Fenerbahce would be a dark horse for this tournament. I'll still stick with that. Florentina 8th in their domestic league, as we said, and Frankfurt 7th. So it's not as if they are teams on form. They look like they're just happy to qualify for next season's Europa Conference League. But one thing is for sure, Aston Villa will not be playing in the Europa Conference League next season. I'm saying it now. We've got bigger and better things to do. As De Zerbi once said, we don't want Europa Conference League.
But we want Champions League.
He said, we want Europa League. We say, we want Champions League. And on that note, it's goodbye from me and it's goodbye from him.
Goodbye.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win. And support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.